Most of you know that I'm a dog lover. One of the things I've enjoyed over the years is throwing a ball to a dog. And, you know, Toby, this one dog I had, would love to run after it, catch it on the first bounce, bring it back to me. We'd keep on doing that. But every now and then, he liked to hang on to the ball so much that I couldn't give him something else. Like this one time, I wanted to give him a cookie, but he had a ball in his mouth, and he was confused. You know, what do? I put the dog bone down on the floor, and Toby had this ball in his mouth, and he couldn't pick up the milk bone because his mouth was too full. Maybe you saw the quote at the top of the bulletin, you know, from St. Augustine. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. I had to say to Toby, drop it. He dropped the ball and then point to the bone and he could pick it up. Can you believe it? How silly is that? That he couldn't just figure it out, like just drop the ball, eat the bone, it's even better. Lent is that kind of a time for us where we practice even giving up things for a little while so that we can receive what God longs to give us. We give up a little bit of time to pray, believing that God wants to meet us in that time of prayer and may have a blessing for us that if we're so busy, we're running around, we will never quite get around to receiving. It's part of why we come to worship, why we take time for scriptures. We have to sacrifice. That's a sacrifice to be here Sunday morning, to get up in the morning. Thank you, choir, for being here. I mean, seriously, I know it's a big deal to get up early and to be here. But there's a blessing in that for you and your service to the congregation. And for us, as we receive that blessing, as we worship God together. But so often we're hanging on to things, clinging to them, and they get in the way of us receiving. In today's passage, we come to Jesus, who, in a sense, we see Jesus. We see God giving up something, an expectation, a dream, a hope that God has for Jerusalem. And Jesus letting go of that at least for a while and moving on. And as we listen to this passage, I'd invite you to consider what it might mean in your life in the face of disappointments, in the face of expectations that just aren't being met. How do you deal with that? What do you do? Jesus can give us some guidance in that. In this passage, Luke chapter 13, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. And on the way, he's been teaching his disciples, continuing his ministry. And we are told by Luke that at that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, listen. I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, for it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem. Jerusalem. How often have I desired to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? And you were not willing. You see, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
Gracious God, in these moments we hear a bit of your sorrow, the ache of your heart. When your people are not willing to listen, to receive the blessing that you offer. Forgive us here this morning, for we are so often like the Jerusalem of old, so caught up in keeping things the way they are, in being secure, in making sure things go the way we think they should, that we aren't willing to receive your word, your transforming word. This morning, Lord, with a bit of fear and trepidation, we pray to you, have your way. Turn us upside down. Teach us what we need to know. Give us the grace to break free of those things, those expectations that keep us from allowing your good work to be done in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So maybe you remember last week, I'm sure you do, the beginning of Lent, we talked about Jesus going out into the wilderness and being tested, tempted by the devil. And we talked about how at the core of every test, every temptation, is this decision about which storyline, which narrative we're going to believe. Temptation's narrative, the devil's narrative for us, is that God cannot be trusted. You've got to take things into your own hands and make sure that you're in control. Now think about it. With Jesus out there in the wilderness 40 days without food, Satan comes to him and says, you know, you need to take things into your own hands. Make some bread here because God can't be trusted. You could do this. Or the second temptation in the Gospel of Luke. You want to change the world, Jesus. I can give you the power to do that. All you have to do is get down and worship me. Take things into your own hands, Jesus. Don't trust God. Don't trust the Father here. You can make this happen right here, right now. Or the third temptation. People aren't going to believe who you are. You can prove it to them. Here, I've got an idea. Why don't you just do it my way? Throw yourself down from this tower. And you can prove. You won't have to go to Nazareth next week and have them reject you. They'll know who you are. All you have to do is follow my idea. Take things into your own hands. We talked last week about how again and again our choice when we're being tested, when we're being tempted, is to say, no, I'm going to trust the Father, and I'm going to trust that He loves me. I'm going to entrust all things into His hands. I'll give up control here, God, and trust you and follow you. In this passage, we're brought to that again. Jesus is being tested again. The Pharisees want to have Jesus just go running off, fearful. Don't follow through on this path that you're on. Don't stick around here and keep teaching. You need to get out of here because Herod wants to teach you. And Jesus says, I'm going to trust the Father here. That's always the first choice. What are we going to put our faith in? In the midst of all the challenges, the tests, the temptations of life, will we trust God's love for us? Will we believe that He's got us? That He's got the situation in His hand? And we see in this passage Jesus once again following through, putting His faith in the Father. This is what I must do. I'm going to step forward, trusting the Father. We also see something really interesting here, though, is that Jesus accepts reality. You know, we think about how our expectations get disappointed. A big part of that for us is to name the reality that we are experiencing to God and just be honest about it. My wife calls this radical acceptance. Like, yeah, it shouldn't be this way. We don't want it to be this way. Okay, this is the way it is. This is where I am. You know, Paul talks about this when he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, that we grieve. We grieve. That's the reality. Some here this morning have lost loved ones even in recent days, weeks. And we grieve. To pretend like we don't, to say we shouldn't, none of that helps. We accept reality. And as Paul says, we grieve, but not as people without hope. This is the reality for us. I think of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the version called The Message, Paul talking about, you know, that thorn in the flesh, that handicap, that whatever it is, we don't really know, but he had some issue going on in his body, in his life, that he wanted to be rid of. But the reality was that it wasn't going away. And Paul finally came to this place of accepting that reality. In the version called The Message, he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, "At first I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, 'My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness.' Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become." Yeah, we hear a lot in our world, and it's actually a helpful phrase. You know, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade, yeah. That's not what we're talking about here. If that's a good practice on your part, what Paul's saying here is, if God's given you lemons, say, okay, God, thanks for the lemons. What are we going to do now? If we're experiencing grief, okay, God, here's the reality. I don't like it. It hurts. It's painful. I'm lonely. How in your providence can you take this grief and work good in the midst of it? My expectations, I just lay at your feet. I think things should go this way, God, but they're not. I'll name that reality. Now, if this is the situation, how is it that you, oh God, are working for good? Because remember, I'm going to trust you. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, keep talking to him about it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, God, here's the situation. Here's the reality. What is it that you're going to do with these lemons, with this situation, with this handicap, with this difficult relationship? How, Lord, are you at work in the midst of that? In fact, one of the things that has struck me the most this week in reflecting on this passage is how Jesus says, "I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And we don't know, when Jesus said that, was he thinking about Palm Sunday, just not too long from this, when he'll come in and they will say those words? Is he talking about his second coming, when he'll come back to Jerusalem, back to this earth, and we'll say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Reality is, though, we're called to say that every day of our lives. Jesus says, "I'm with you to the close of the age." Are you in the midst of a difficult situation? Are you facing a challenge? Are you lonely? Are you sad? Are you struggling? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, right here, right now, in this situation. You can trust him on this. And when we say those words, our eyes begin to open to look for him. Jesus comes to us right here this morning as we worship, as we say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus comes to us, we're in the midst of a struggling situation. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. I don't understand what's going on here. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, how we're going to move forward. But God, you are here, and I bless you as you come. Help me. Give me eyes to see you, ears to hear you. The one who comes in the name of the Lord." There's a prayer maybe you know. It's said around the table at times. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. May this food to us be blessed," or "May these gifts to us be blessed." That prayer has been going through my mind as I've reflected on this passage. That whatever the situation is, I can say, not just around the table, but, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. May these gifts to us be blessed. May these lemons to us be blessed. May this grief to us be blessed. May this challenging situation to us be blessed." Can we say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Can we welcome Jesus into our every situation, blessing his name, and entrusting our expectations, our control, our everything into his hands? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Because ultimately, then, what we have to do is what Jesus does here. Even when our expectations have been disappointed, even when things don't seem to be going the way we think they should, we're called to choose to do our part. Whatever might be going on in the world around us, to take our next step. If think about Jesus and his disciples heading there to Jerusalem. Peter and Andrew and the others had hoped that what would happen, their expectation was that Jesus would come into Jerusalem, overthrow the Romans, take charge of it all, and they'd be sitting at his right hand and his left hand right then and there in Jerusalem overseeing the world. But those expectations were completely devastated as Jesus died on the cross. And their invitation was to hand over those expectations to God and say, "Okay, God, Jesus is on the cross. He's dead. How is it that you're going to work for good in this? I'm going to give up." There's a gift for us in giving up our expectations to God and trusting that even through the worst that can happen, even through death itself, God can bring his good. That's what God does. That's why we talk about putting our faith in God, not in our circumstances, not in our expectations being met, not in our ability to make lemonade out of lemons, but in our faith in God. In Genesis 15, what God says about Abram is that his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. He couldn't see yet how this would work out, but God said it would be so. And Paul, even though all of his expectations did not seem to be being met, he wasn't having a son, he continued to say, "I'm going to believe God here. I'm going to choose to put my faith in God. I'll give up my expectations that it should have happened, that it should be happening. I'm going to accept this reality. I'm going to welcome God's presence into this reality. And I'm going to keep stepping forward in faith." Even as we come to the table this morning, we're reminded of Jesus' practice of doing this. In the midst of his disappointment over Jerusalem not welcoming him, responding to the word of God, to the prophet, to the Christ who comes to them. But Jesus actually dying there in Jerusalem. And yet we're reminded that even through that great suffering and death, God accomplished more than we could have imagined. It was so then, it is so today. And as we receive these gifts of God this morning, may we say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And I'd invite you as you go out into the afternoon and into the week ahead to continue practicing that prayer, that word. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, because he is with you. And he will accomplish his good purpose. You can take God's word for that. Amen.